Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
You're listening to Gallant and George
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Time now to talk Texans with ESPN Texans reporter DJ Bienemé.
Brought to you by Houston Powder Coaters and the DraftKings Sportsbook at Golden Nugget Lake Charles.
DJ just asked me what's wrong with me. Well, what's wrong with you, DJ? You need to turn your microphone on. Joining us right now from ESPN, the one and only man who went on a national podcast and said that the Indianapolis Colts are going to win the AFC South. DJ, welcome back, buddy.
Hey, how are you doing? Did you have to introduce me that way?
Yeah, I did, with an air horn. You just put a crown on your head. Just because we have a crown lying around in studio.
Heavy is the crown. What did it?
Heavy
is the head that
lies the crown on the head or something.
Yeah, something like that.
We are all very learned men.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad to be here. You know, I mean, I saw you at practice today. It was nice to see you at practice.
I've been at every practice.
Yeah. I said it's not nice to see you at practice.
Just because I'm not on your flag football team is no reason to hold out on me, bro.
Yeah, you're old.
Yeah, I am.
You're old.
It hurts.
At least you got an invite.
Yeah, listen.
We could have used the center.
Oh!
That's not for Joe.
I mean, that's
you know what? You know what, though?
He said it.
Hey, you know what, DJ? I played some center in high school.
That's good. Yeah,
when I was
on the
JV team, I could snap it.
That's good. You know, we could have used that on one of our teams.
He's a regular John Weeks.
Yes.
Regular John Weeks.
You know what? Long career.
Long career?
Very long career.
I'm in.
John played with D'Amico and is being coached by D'Amico, and that's a long career. So you're right.
Well, let's just start off with that, DJ. You made some waves with that prediction. Some people got mad at you on Texas
Twitter.
People got
Twitter. Mad at me?
Yeah.
Really?
Some people on Texas Twitter.
Wow. Interesting.
It seems like you're used to this.
Yeah. Well, that's life.
Heavy lies the crown.
Heavy.
Don't put it back on. Put that down. Put that down right now. So explain your reasoning. I do think it's sound.
I think mainly because, you know, it's unfortunate, though. The Colts, they just lost their leading sack guy from last year. But, you know, their first-round pick could come in from Washington. Should be able to replace him. But for me, it was mainly the schedule. It was really, really tough. And, you know, the Colts were basically a drop pass from winning the division last year. If Anthony Richardson is anything close to, you know, let's say like the 15-ish or 16-ish best quarterback in the league this year, along with Jonathan Taylor, who missed a lot of last year, came on strong at the end. We saw what he was doing in the last game against the Texans. If he can, you know, be able to balance out that offense. You have Shane Stackton calling plays, and the defense is solid. I think that should be enough to get them to 10 to 11 wins, mainly because their schedule is easier than the Texans. Again, the Colts play, I think, the Giants, the Broncos, obviously the Titans twice. I mean, they'll probably go 3-3 in the division, maybe 4-2. We'll see how that goes. But they should have a solid record within the division. They play some bummy quarterbacks or rookie quarterbacks, and that usually matters in terms of being able to get the division. Just like the Texans, they feasted off that last year. They got to play the Cardinals, who were not good, even though Kyler played in that game. But the Cardinals, who weren't good, they got to play the Saints.
And they lost to some of these teams.
They did lose to some of them, but, you know, they benefited from the fact that they got to play the Broncos.
Right.
They got to play the Titans twice. They got to play the Steelers, when the Steelers were still struggling. Obviously, they split with the Jags. I feel like I'm missing a couple of teams in between there. I mean, obviously, they had some really good wins, right? They had a good win against the Bucks and the Bengals. But, yeah, like, I think the fact that – and there's so many games last year where, like, a coin flip – they literally are a coin flip from being 6-11 or, obviously, 10-7, which they were. And, obviously, they won the playoff game. But I think that I liked, you know, just the continuity that the Colts have. They have an easier schedule. So it's not necessarily like I think the Colts are just far away better. It's more like they added a few pieces. They're getting their better quarterback back. If he stays healthy, I could see a world where they win 11 games. It's not like I picked the Titans to win a division.
I think it's when we talked about it after you said it on Mia's podcast, it was the biggest thing was the health of Anthony Richardson.
Right.
Of just
right.
That he played two games last year where he played in all four quarters.
Right.
And
right.
Like, how do you totally buy into a guy that it is like that just
right.
Because it's he needs to be on the field. Do you just are you looking at this season before we go into what you guys are seeing at training camp? Are you not really putting Jacksonville in this conversation? Because it feels like it's Indy and Houston, and that's really who most people believe in for the division.
Why should we put the Jags in it? Just because they have Trevor Lawrence?
The year before? I mean,
the year before they went 9-8. You know, it's not like they were like world beaters. They got really lucky in the second half. The Chargers choked in the second half. Like, if they were
8-3 at one point last year, though.
And then they fell apart. But like, that 8-3 was kind of like a fluky 8-3 because they played a bunch of bad teams. Mm. So that's my thing, right? Like, they played a bunch of crappy teams. They got to 8-3 and they got the hard part of the schedule and they fell apart. You know, granted, yes, like Trevor got hurt, but one of my issues with them was their offensive line. Did they do much to improve the offensive line? No. They're banking on continuity.
They got Trent Baalke, and they're just not a very well-run organization.
You know, so it's like, you know, the only reason why people really put Jackson – I mean, and they lost, even though I don't think Calvin was that good last year.
Calvin Ridley.
Yeah, they you know, they replaced them with Brian Thomas out of LSU, and obviously you got Gabe Davis. But the receiving core is okay. Like, that's not, like, something that scares anybody. The O-line is still what it is. I think their defense can be really good. I like their DC that they got from Atlanta, who gave, obviously, the Texans trouble last year. But, yeah, I mean, you know. I mean, I think if you're picking the Jags, you're just more, like, banking on, like, you know, the 8-3 star and Trevor taking another leap. But when your best receiver is Christian Kirk, I just don't know how. Because Trevor isn't a force multiplier like a Patrick Mahomes or a Josh Allen or even like a Lamar Jackson or a Joe Burrow. So if your best receiver is Christian Kirk and your best tight end is Evan Ingram, like, I just don't know if, like, just you having Trevor is enough to get you to win a division where you have two teams who I think have better rosters than the Jags.
Interesting. DJ Bien-Aimé of ESPN with us. It's Gallant and George, Joe George, Paul Gallant here as well. DJ and I have been out at Houston Texans training camp.
Yeah.
And when I was talking about this with you at practice today, the offense has been having a rough last couple of days. Lots of sacks, lots of inaccurate throws downfield. Any cause for concern?
I think after you left, they actually kind of picked it up during 2 minutes.
So it's Paul's fault.
Sort of. I stuck around for the 2 minute, but
it felt like
everything was moving so slowly in that 2 minute period. Yeah, it didn't feel like an authentic 2 minute, but they had a couple of nice throws. Yeah. They didn't get down inside
CJ
the five.
CJ went like 8-10 in that stretch. But, you know, like, I think, you know, I wouldn't say necessarily they're struggling, but, like, they're going through some growing pains, and they do have to, you know, work through the kinks. You know, just. There's just periods where the ball's on the ground too much. You know what I'm saying? Like, the third period, I think CJ went, like, 5-10 with, like, 2 sacks. So, it really could have been, like, 5-12, right, or whatever. So, I mean, it's just they need to kind of work through their kinks. Because, like, I just – here's my thing. Because I was talking to some people, like, you know, maybe they might just have a great defense. Well, the Jets have a great defense. And last year, Aaron Rodgers had a lot of practices where he tore that defense up. Just because you're going against a – great defense doesn't mean the offense can't be effective. Like, that's not how the NFL works. Like, what are you going to do when you play great defenses in the regular season? You're just going to, like, say, oh, well, we're just playing a great defense. You know, it's kind of like the problem with Miami last year. When they played good defenses, they couldn't do what they had to do. So, yeah, I mean, the offense has been uneven. And it's, you know, I would categorize today as solid, but overall it has been uneven, right? We've had multiple practices where CJ's been frustrated at the end of during practice. Because things haven't gone the way that they needed to go. And, you know, again, it's early. It's only July 30th, maybe. Is it
July 30th? July 30th.
It's just July 30th. But, you know, so no reason to be overly concerned. But it is something to keep note of, you know, that they haven't had a day yet where the offense was just dominant. You know, the defense had multiple days where they've been dominant. But not a single day where the offense looks dominant. And people compare to last year. Like, last year, well, the Texans, their offense started slow, then picked up. Well, CJ was a rookie, and he had, like, you know, Nico who hadn't broke out yet, or Tank who was a rookie, and it was a lot different. This year, you have Stephon Diggs. You have Nico coming off of a 1,200-yard year. You have Tank Dell who's on pace for 1,200 yards. You have, you know, obviously Joe Mixon doesn't practice much, but there's way more continuity. So, and it's not like the defense, like, they added, like, Deion Sanders and Lawrence Taylor. Yes, they added Neil. Neil's really good, and Aziz has looked really good, really good in camp. But it's not like they've added so many. They have an all-star defense. They have good players on defense, but it's not like they have, like, world beaters to where, like, you can't move the ball. And still, the Ravens last year had the best defense in the league. And Lamar still had practices where he tore them up because, you know, he's Lamar Jackson. So it's kind of like trying not to put too much into it. But for me, my thing, I want to see what the offense looks like by the third preseason game. If it still looks uneven and clunky, now we can start to sound the alarm bells.
Is there anything that with CJ that is perceived to be different this year? Like, is he not getting the ball out on time? Is he trying to do things differently, get the ball down the field more, that's maybe causing some of these concerns? Like, is this trial and error, or is it just the offensive line doesn't have Tunsil out there and things just aren't going?
Yeah, I think the offensive line is probably the bigger thing, right? Since you don't, because right now CJ, what he's told us is he's trying to have more command of the offense and own the operation of the offense. Where last year he was just more focused about just playing quarterback and doing his job. Now he's more trying to make sure everybody's in the right spot all times. But I think it's the O-line, especially the left side. There's been too many, like, they can't run to the left side. Today, the only good run they had that I can remember was they ran to the right side with Titus and Shaq. They can't run to the left side.
I feel bad for Blake Fisher at this point. I mean, yeah, he's a rookie. Yeah. He's been thrown in there.
Yeah, he's been getting whooped
bad. It's bigger Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter.
Yeah. He's been getting cooked. I mean, you know, there's been times where Foley Fazekasi's been able to get to the quarterback, and I think he has like less than 10 sacks in his career. You know, he's been in the league since, I want to say, since 2019 or something like that. So yeah, like, it's
while we're on that defensive line, they have been impressive.
Yeah.
And it's been without Denico Autry. Autry hasn't been out there that much, if I'm not mistaken, at least as far as that, on the field practicing. And now he got suspended for 6 games.
Right.
How much of an impact do you see that having? I've really liked what I've seen out of Mario Edwards playing defensive tackle. And obviously it feels like Anderson's taken a little bit of a step forward in terms of his size. And they do seem to have a lot of depth on the defensive line. Is the Autry suspension going to hurt them?
Yeah. Because, like, they're not, like, they only have two guys on the D line that you have to, like, legitimately worry about. Where, like, some of the best defensive lines, they have multiple guys you have to worry about. And if you're weak up the spine, it's a lot easier to attack a defense. I won't say they're weak at D tackle, because you said that you're right. They have at times flashed. But again, like, I have to kind of weigh it against, are they flashing because they're going against a second year Drew Scruggs, a third year Kenyon Green, who didn't play last year and who struggled as a rookie, and to the left side, Blake Fisher, you know? So, like, I'm having to weigh that a little bit. So, like, for me, is, you know, losing Danico Autry, because he was going to play some third down or some run downs at the D-tackle spot, that was going to be very beneficial for them, because he's a good player. So losing him makes that, you know, middle of the defense, kind of spine of defense, kind of weaker. So, like, because having talked to D'Amico last year, he did mention to us that one reason why he thinks that Jonathan Gennard and Will Anderson were able to get sacks last year, because I think they had 20 between the two of them, and they didn't play all 17 games, was because of Sheldon Rankins and Malik Collins consistently pushing the pocket, collapsing the pocket up the middle, to where quarterbacks didn't have nowhere to go except around and out of the pocket, which takes you right into, you know, Gennard, or it takes you into Will, and it helps them with their rush lanes. It's a cleaner path there for them. So obviously, like, objectively, what they have now is a downgrade from those two, because, you know, Malik Collins and Sheldon Rankins analytically were towards the top at the D-tackle position. So that's not even like a knock on them, but that is a downgrade. So I wonder what that's going to look like once the season gets here.
Do you think that there's another move that follows this now? You know, we've talked a lot about the safety position. Like, would they add safety? But now with the suspension, it's only 6 games.
Yeah.
But they have a little bit of cap space to play with. And obviously, we probably wait till, you know, the big cut day at the end of the preseason. But do you feel like Nick Cassero in his mind and D'Amico then are looking for an upgrade at defensive tackle potentially to help early in the season?
Depends. I think we got to wait till cut day. Mainly because, again, as you mentioned, right, it's only 6 games. It's not like it's for the entire year. So that would just probably hurt them a little bit early, but I don't know if there's a move worth making that kind of invalidates your, you know, I guess, 2-year, $20 million commitment to D'Amico Autry. So I think you just kind of ride it out with what you got. I mean, it's clear that they thought, like, they need to upgrade that position, because they tried to trade for Eric Armstead, but obviously that fell through, and now he's in Jacksonville. But, yeah, I think just to ride it out.
Who's been the biggest star of training camp to this point?
Oh, that's a good one. Obviously, Stingley's in the conversation. I would say Diggs is in the conversation.
Diggs has really flashed.
Yeah. Like, I came into it thinking, okay, Nico was going to be the one. Nah. Like,
Diggs seems to have taken it.
Yeah,
I agree with you.
Yeah, you know, like who they target more, and I think it's just been Diggs. I could see a scenario where like Nico has more yards per catch than Diggs, but I think, you know, Diggs as for now looks like the one. But I think Diggs, Stingley, obviously like Kamari's look really good.
Kamari Lassiter, the number two, the second round draft pick out of Georgia.
Yeah. Yeah, he's flashed a lot. Oh, Aziz
Al-Shaair.
He's looked like a man possessed at times. Seriously, like there's been times where I remember he dove into a pile. I think it was the fans were there, or like run play, and he makes a tackle or whatever, and he falls on his back and he's slapping his helmet, just yelling. I'm just like, oh, this man kind of possessed, you know? So
I've been getting a kick out of everyone talking about their interactions with Al-Shaair.
Yeah.
This is the time Aziz Al-Shaair yelled at me.
Yeah. Like, it's clear that he's the leader of the defense, you know what I'm saying? And Danielle Hunter. Danielle Hunter has had times where he looks like a freakazoid.
His biceps are the biggest things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
I don't care how uncomfortable that makes people. We were having
some people on the beat, and we asked one of the Texan PR guys, what would you do if Daniel Hunter bumped into you at the bar? I said, man, I would tell him, my bad, bro. So those five for me.
Yeah, Danielle Hunter would be scary. I once, for those who don't know, I bumped into Dion Waiters at a bar at Syracuse and knocked a drink out of his hand.
When was this? Like what, 2005?
This was 2010. 2002? Kiss my ass. It was 2010. We're at the bar, and I turned around and I bumped into Dion Waiters. And I mean, Dion Waiters is not of drinking age. He's clearly not allowed in this bar. RIP, Chuck. It was a great bar. The bottle drops to the ground, and he looks like he's going to kill me. And I'm so thankful that Chris Joseph, another Syracuse basketball player, was there like to grab him on the shoulder, wow, calm him down. Wow. And, yeah.
Wow. You just go, sir, can I buy you another?
You know what? I thought about it, but I was like, man, I don't want to spend more money on a drink.
Nah, I feel you.
I only got $20 that I came here with.
I feel you. I feel you on that. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Ain't nothing wrong with that at all. I stand with you.
What about what's Petrie looking like in the slot? Because that seems to be where he's moving to.
Yeah, I think, you know, there's some plays today where he's able to make, in a run game. I think that's a more natural spot for him. That's kind of when he played in college, where he was more around the line of scrimmage. I think that's where he's at his best. We just have to kind of see what he's going to look like in coverage when you're going against different slots across the league. Granted, like, he's had a lot of reps against Diggs in the slot, and he hasn't like, stood out in the sense of, like, oh, Diggs just caught this on Petrie. Oh, Diggs just caught this on Petrie. So he's kind of held his own in the slot, so that's good.
Yeah, the real guy that seems to be getting picked apart, and I feel bad for him, is Mike Ford's been having a rough time. I think Petrie moving into that spot, I feel like he's actually shown that he's got the ability to play some man coverage, and we'll see where that goes. There's lots of new pieces that have been brought into the Texans this offseason, and DJ Bien-Aimé with us from ESPN. We're talking about everything at Texans training camp. Joe George here as well. Paul Gallant. It's Gallant and George on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So we have preseason game number one on Thursday. It's the Hall of Fame game in Canton, Ohio. This is always a weird game because it's an extra preseason game.
Right.
I'm guessing we see very few starters for the Texans in this game, if we see them at all. Who, I guess, do you expect to not see in Thursday's game as best you can? And I mean just like at the top. I'm assuming C.J. Stroud out
no
without
CJ,
having to set.
None of the top three receivers, none of the starting O-line. I might see Kenyon Green and Juice Scruggs.
Maybe the younger guys.
Yeah. So none of the vets. I think we just see a lot of young guys, you know what I'm saying, like across the board on both sides. I wonder if we're going to see Demian Pierce at running back. That'd be an interesting one.
For those who don't know, Pierce had a really, I thought, reflective press conference a couple of days ago. Was that Saturday? I think it might have been Saturday.
Probably.
And I was just really intrigued where he said year two, even though statistically it wasn't good, I'm probably going to look back at this as my best year because he felt like he learned a lot. And I've always believed in Pierce's talent. Ever since seeing him his rookie year, he really jumped off the screen. Last year, something was up.
Right. I agree. No, something for sure was up. I mean, they might end up needing him because, I mean, Joe Mixon hasn't practiced since the first day. you know, with a soft tissue injury. So, I mean, you know, those are nagging. Those last the entire year. Yeah. Well, not the entire year, but, you know, they could pop up at any time. So, I could envision that the Texans end up needing him again. So, but it'd be interesting to see him. Obviously, we'll probably see Mills. Maybe Mills and Tim Boyle.
Is Case Keenum being forced to play in this game?
I don't think you make your case. It was almost like 40 playing a game like this.
Do we have a backup quarterback controversy? I mean, last year was interesting from this perspective.
I think it was dumb, but go ahead.
Listen, hey, we're looking for storylines. It's July.
I'm talking about the decision.
Oh.
Yeah, I think that was dumb. But, yeah.
Explain the decision. What do you mean? I'm
D'Amico to go with Case over Davis?
Case over Davis.
Yeah, I think that was dumb.
Really? That's a Cougs legend. That's a hero of Houston, yeah, DJ.
But when we watched both games, like, he looked horrid. Did he not?
I don't know.
Did he not look like he had a noodle arm? Did he not look like he could barely move?
Yeah, I mean, they took him out for a Hail Mary.
Yeah, exactly.
But the Hail Mary was worse.
And like, they got so lucky in that game, right? Like, that game should have been over.
Case Keenum knows how to win, like Tim Tebow.
That game should have been over. Like they had, you know how bad it got to be for your offense to get multiple like shots in overtime, and I thought
thank God for Devin Singletary that big catch and run.
Yeah, exactly. That game was.
We all have our own questions though about Davis Mills, and I know that as someone who's covered Tim Boyle in New York, he's not exactly inspiring any confidence.
No.
So, in your opinion, Mills is going to be the number two quarterback next year?
Oh, I don't know that. I don't know. I mean, we'll see, because you never know. Like, you know, D'Amico did want to throw like a loop at, you know, the Titans or whatever, but if they're either one of them out there, then with this schedule, they probably lose that game. Like, honestly, like, with this schedule, like, whoever they go against, because it's like they play the Titans. The Titans obviously were a bad team. That's who they beat. When they played a playoff caliber team, they got the snot beat out of them. So that's kind of more or less like where I'm at with that. Like, you know, their backup quarterback situation. If you're going to go with Case, go ahead. If you're going to go with Davis, go ahead. I mean, if CJ is out for any extended period of time, you're probably going to have a losing record during that time, and that probably cost you division anyway.
Kenyon Green, your left guard? Because you guys saying Kenyon Green
He should play in the Hall of Fame game.
Is he going to be the starting left guard this
year? Yeah. I mean, like, they don't
really have anybody else.
I thought there was a chance Patterson would start at center, and Scruggs could play left guard if Kenyon Green wasn't any good. Because that's what they did a little bit last year.
Yeah, just that. None of them have been impressive, so it's like.
So it's just a bunch of bad.
It's just a bunch of Jags right now. They're at like replacement level, Jag level right now, but they're all young, so you're just kind of hoping that they figure it out. So, I mean.
And this game's going to be big, I think, for them. If you like trench play, what's been interesting, and this is just, I think, the case with all training camp, but D'Amico even acknowledged it when I asked him. A couple of days ago, like, hey, like the offensive line, defensive line, what's going on there? And he's like, well, there's give and take, and these guys are trying not to hurt each other.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if in this game, this is like the actual first real reps. And it does, I would imagine if you're an old school coach, you got to be so pissed off, like, where you can't hit each other in practice, you can't be full contact in practice, and your offensive linemen just can't get the kind of reps they probably need to be to seriously improve, I guess, over the course of an offseason.
Do you believe that, though?
To a degree.
I feel like.
Iron sharpens iron.
That is the worst cliche ever, but...
Swarm.
That too. but I feel like with O-line, D-line, if they're in practice and they're blocking each other, they're still getting after it. You know what I'm saying? So it's like... I heard someone else say, like, you know, they're not trying to hurt each other, which, well, I mean, yeah, obviously, but that might be just referring to cut blocking.
Yeah.
You know, like, that might be just it. And I don't know, I just... If the O-line does not look good in training camp, they usually don't look good during the season. Like, that throughout, you know, since I've been covering the NFL, since I've been following the NFL, if I see reports that the O-line stinks or has been struggling, that usually carries into the season. Because people are saying about the Jets O-line, and four plays in, even though it's Aaron Rodgers' fault, he busts his Achilles.
Ooh, I like that. That's a take.
You know, so it's like, if their O-line was struggling throughout preseason and training camp, and when they got to the regular season, it was an absolute train wreck, even after Aaron got hurt. Because, like, I remember when the Jets played the Dolphins in Miami, Zach Wilson left the game concussed because there were some plays where he would say hike, turn, play action, turn around, there'll be somebody in his face. So for me, it's always like, I mean, I hear the give and take, but like, I don't think it's, you know, oh, now that we can hurt the D-line, now we'll be able to block better. I don't know about all that.
He is DJ Bienema. You can catch his work for ESPN. We'll be having him on all football season. DJ, thank you so much. We'll see you next week.
All right. No, thank you for having me.
Galana George, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Astros made another move, and it involves a team you hate. They're dealing with the enemy? What? Stick around.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.